As we prepare to begin our Bible study, we'd like to pray. Would you join with me? Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, vetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Many breakthroughs come little by little, ma'at ma'at in Hebrew. Say ma'at ma'at with me. Ma'at. You can have real progress little by little, but sometimes breakthroughs don't even look like breakthroughs at first because they're still hidden. They haven't been fully revealed. We haven't even noticed that the breakthrough has begun because we're waiting until the whole thing has fully arrived. But even though breakthroughs may start and accumulate little by little, it doesn't mean they're small breakthroughs. They can be big breakthroughs that just take time in order to be fully realized. They come little by little, but they add up to something significant and powerful. I'm saying this to you because some of you are in the middle of a ma'at ma'at breakthrough. You know that's the kind of breakthrough God wants to give you, step by step, little by little, not all at once. But you may think then it's not going to be a big breakthrough because it's coming little by little. But God works little by little to produce big, big things. Now here's a word for this weekend to remember: consistency. Say that with me, consistency. Consistency means to continue to do something in a steady way. It means to be constant. And consistency is a key to building strength, whether it's physical strength or spiritual strength. But I can tell you this, real spiritual strength is built through consistency. It's not built by heroic effort, it's built by steady effort. Even great breakthroughs, even mountaintop experiences where you experience the great presence and the joy and the victory of the Lord, they still require that we hold firm and that we hold on and that we be consistent in everyday life, which can feel like a valley to us. So with that in mind, I want to look at a few scriptures that will help us with consistency. One of them is our scriptures around single-mindedness and how to avoid being double-minded. Now, James Yaakov, chapter 1, verse 8, makes this powerful statement. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Can you repeat that with me? James 1, 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1:8. Okay, you know when it says double-minded man, ladies, it also applies to women too. A double-minded person. You see, the ladies were thinking, oh, see, that explains my husband. And the husbands are thinking, but that explains my wife. That explains us. This explains us. When we're double-minded, the Greek there says when you have two psyches, when you've got two different minds at work in you, you're going to be unstable. You see, instability works against consistency. Consistency requires stability. And if you notice what James says as well, he says, that person should not think that they'll receive anything from the Lord. Wow. You want a breakthrough? You can't be double-minded. You want a breakthrough? You've got to focus on the breakthrough and everything that it takes. You can't do, on one hand, things that lead you to the breakthrough, and on the other hand, things that undermine your breakthrough. It's important to be single-minded and not be torn. Because if you're torn, not only will you be unstable, you won't receive. Now, if you need to receive from the Lord, this is very important for you and for me. Let's go on and look at what Elijah had to say. He had something to say about double-mindedness. He was confronting Israel's double-mindedness. Would Israel serve Baal or the Lord? And you remember he had a confrontation with the priests of Baal, And he proposed that the God who answered with fire would be the true God, and they offered up sacrifices. He poured water on his and so forth. He made it really hard. And the worshipers of Baal, they did their thing. They cut themselves. They cried. They did all sorts of stuff. And God answered Elijah with fire and consumed his sacrifice. And then Elijah had a question. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And I'll give you several translations. One translation, very common, how long will you halt between two opinions? But halt doesn't quite capture it. Halt sounds like you're stuck. I don't know whether to go this way or that way. And the word that's translated halt is from the same root as Pesach. And Pesach is a word that describes the bouncing movement of a lamb in the field. And so another way of saying this is, how long will you bounce between two opinions? You're bouncing. One moment you're bouncing this way, the other moment you're bouncing this way. And then there's another translation that says, how long will you limp between two opinions? You're just sort of going over here with not much enthusiasm, and then you go over there. Or to hesitate or go back and forth. And one modern English translation puts it this way. How long will you try to have it both ways? You're trying to have it both ways. You're trying to be like belonging to God, but you want to get along with Baal. You can't. Commentary on this. Yeshua said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. And he was talking about the love of God versus the love of money. You're going to adore one and not the other. It's not that money's evil and God is good. It's that loving God has to be without any competition. And if we're loving money, it's not that we don't need money and we have to be wise and faithful regarding money. Who here doesn't need any money? Because if you could tell me how to live without money, I would surely like to know. We all need money, correct? But to love money really means to worship it, to make it your ultimate source of meaning and purpose. And Yeshua says you can't serve two masters. Whether it's money in God or something else in God, you can't serve two masters. And then Joshua, I like his commentary on these whole things. All of this in Joshua 24, verse 15. He said, listen, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You see, don't be stuck between two different opinions. Don't limp or bounce back and forth. Don't try to have it both ways. You don't want to serve God, just make it clear and say, I'm going to be an idolater, or I'm going to be an atheist, I'm going to be a pagan. I mean, even atheists don't do well at being atheists. Do you know that? I've talked to many atheists, and I've asked them this question. Have you ever been in a situation that was so desperate for you that even you cried out to God? And you know, most of them have. And you know what's amazing? Almost everyone has gotten themselves in such a predicament that they knew only God could help them, and almost everyone has prayed to God for help. And do you know how kind God is? He will help even those people who are in that situation. What's amazing is that people cry out to God, He answers them, they know it, but then what do they do with it? You see, this is what Joshua is talking about. You know that God delivered us from Egypt. You know He brought us through the Red Sea. You know He brought us through the wilderness. You know He's brought us into the land of promise. So what's your position? What position are you going to take? Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve idols? Make up your mind. You can't have it both ways. So being single-minded is a very important part of being consistent, and being single-minded is a key to a breakthrough. Because if you're doing everything right, but you're double-minded, that Yaakov statement can kick in. You'll be unstable, and you won't receive from the Lord. And you might be saying, why am I not receiving? Here's an answer. Stability, single-mindedness is so, so very important. This weekend, Saturday night, is Purim, Erev Purim. And so I want to speak for a moment about how Purim, the breakthrough of Purim, can help us understand how God is at work in the times when we're waiting for the breakthrough. And I just want to focus on something really simple. The book of Esther and the holiday of Purim remind us of something, that God was at work in secret. And let me just give two examples of that. He had his hidden Jew in the palace. What was that person's name? Esther. Esther was her local name. What was her Hebrew name? Hadassah, which means myrtle, right? Okay. But you know, if you call her myrtle, it doesn't sound Jewish, does it? Okay, so she was the hidden Jew, God's hidden Jew. God had a way to get her into the palace, married to the king. He used a beauty pageant to do it. But there was another way that God was at work in secret. He had used Mordecai to rescue. He had used Mordecai to rescue the king from a plot to kill him. And Mordecai had never been honored. He hadn't really been recognized. It was recorded in the Chronicles of the Kings, but no one had done anything about it. And one sleepless night, the king says, "Read to me from that book." And they read about Mordecai, and he says, "Well, we need to honor him." You see, Mordecai was hidden. It was known what he had done, but it was known in secret. And this helps us understand something, that God will store up your faithful actions, your faithful deeds. He keeps track of that. This is not how you get saved. It's not that, oh, God is going to measure everything one day, and at the end, he's simply going to say, were all of your good deeds more than your sins? And if so, you get to come to heaven. That's not it. That's not how you get born again, by accumulating enough good deeds or merit badges or something like that, that you can be born anew. It requires faith and faithfulness, faith on God's terms, not on your own. Nevertheless, God does take notice of your faithful actions, your faithful deeds. And he won't always reward you immediately. How many of you can verify that? But he won't forget. That's the other side. Your faithfulness and your good works may be forgotten by other people, but God will bring them out at just the right time, and he will reward you. So I want to encourage you, stay faithful. Now, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10, because it speaks to us about God's faithfulness and the way that he remembers us. It says this: God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you've worked for him, and how you've shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. So this is saying something. The Greek says it sort of like this: God remembers your works of love in his name. Your works of love. Not just your works, but your works of love. You see, you remember what Paul once said, that you may prophesy incredibly, but if it's without love, it doesn't really count. And you may even give everything you have to the poor, but if it's without love, it doesn't count. Love is a key. Your works of love, not your works of trying to justify yourself or earn God's approval, your works of love given freely because you love him. Your works of love, your loving deeds, the things you've done in love in his name, which is very important, not in your name. Not the things that you were counting on for yourself to make a name for yourself or a good reputation. Those are all important to do, but these are selfless deeds that are done on God's behalf. Works of love in his name. God will remember those because they bring honor to him. And the writer of Hebrews says, what you did in the past, you need to continue to do. So he's speaking about consistency, and verse 11 says, we want each of you to show this very same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure and secure. Now, in Hebrew, not in Greek, but in Hebrew, if you want to convey the idea of diligence, you repeat a verb. So if you want to say pray diligently in Hebrew, you would say pray by praying. If you want to say serve diligently, how would you say that? Serve by serving. You repeat it, and it's not just because you are repetitious. It's because this is the way that you show diligence, is by actually doing the thing. It's not by thinking about doing it. It's not by intending to do it. Diligent prayer is actually prayer. That's the difference between non-diligent prayer, which is often, well, I would like to pray, or I did pray once. But diligent prayer means I keep praying by praying. So here, he says, show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. He's saying, keep doing by doing it. And then in Hebrews 11, verse 16, very powerful statement. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he truly exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, how would you say diligently seek using the Hebrew way? Seek by seeking him. That's right. There you go. So, in order to please God, it requires what? Faith. Faith and faithfulness. So the one who comes to God must have two qualities. One, they believe he really exists. You see, you can't be double-minded. Well, I think he's out there somewhere. But you know that he exists. And the second thing, this is surprising for many people. You have to know that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards them. Now, I want you to encourage the person sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, wherever there's someone. There may be four or five people you need to tell them this. Smile at them and tell them God rewards you for your diligence. God rewards you. God rewards you for your diligence. Now, Ephesians 6:8. Says this, remember. Whenever the scripture says remember, do you know why it says that? Because we forget, right? It's that simple. Remember. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good that we do. Remember that. Remember that. Think about that. God's going to reward you for the good that you do. Now, there are two ways of doing good on Purim. Traditional ways of doing good. One is called Matanot Le'Evyonim, which means gifts to the poor. And the other one is called Mishloach Manot, the sending of gifts to one another, especially portions of food. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Esther chapter 9, verse 22, which describes how these traditions began. It was talking about in the days of celebration after the victory over Haman. Haman. That's right. There we go. After those days. Because on those days, the Jews rid themselves of their enemies. And it was a month which was turned for them from sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday. So that they should make them days of feasting and rejoicing and sending portions of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Now, Jewish tradition says not only do the wealthy give gifts to the poor, but on Purim, the poor give gifts to the poor. So everyone finds a way to give. And then this wonderful tradition of giving food. And interestingly, the Jewish tradition is it's got to be ready to eat. So a real blessing means the food's ready. You know, so it's not just the ingredients. Like, I brought you a cake. Here's a bag, 5-pound bag of flour. Here's some yeast. Here's some eggs. Enjoy. It's a delicious cake. No, you bring the ready-to-eat thing. And as well, in Jewish tradition, Purim is a time of additional giving. So the idea that you give your tithes, that's separate. The idea is that all year long, you're giving tzedakah, you're giving gifts on behalf of the needy. But at Purim, it's in addition. You see, that's part of the Jewish way of thinking, that you've got foundations, tithes, you've got other foundational giving, which are offerings for the needy, and then you've got special occasions where you do even more than that. So you don't just divide it all up and say, oh, you know what, cut that tithe back, give to the poor. No, Jewish tradition is you keep giving and you add to it. And ask yourself this, as a nation, how do you think the Jews are doing with money? Pretty good. Very good. Jewish people have a good reputation for handling money. And one of the reasons is because we were taught well by the Lord. Now, in our congregation, we also have mercy ministries like Manna from Heaven, which is a ministry that brings food to the needy in our congregation. We have the prison ministry, which is in how many different prisons now, John? You can count while you're thinking. Around six prison ministries. We have a benevolence ministry that helps the needy financially. We have our ministry to the Russian-speaking population here in Jacksonville, our ministry to in Ukraine, to Ukrainian rabbis, helping support their families. We were able to give generously to the three rabbis and their families who were here with us in January. And we support Shalom Network's Holocaust Survivors Ministry in Budapest. And those are just some examples, and we have other kinds of ministries here in the congregation that show mercy. But at Purim, we don't rely only on giving to the existing ministries, we do it ourselves. And so we take food to one another and we give gifts to one another. And we give to the poor. Now I want to close by praying for everyone who wants to move forward, and you know that you need to go little by little. You know you need consistency. And you want that consistency. And you've been praying, you've been wondering, is God a rewarder? Because I know there are some people who ask that question deep in their soul. Maybe they don't even want to tell other people about it. But they wonder, is God ever going to get around to blessing me? I know he gave a wife, he gave a husband, he gave a new job, he gave a home to other people, but what about me? And it's so important to know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you're not sure how to position yourself to get the breakthrough and to get the reward, remember, be single-minded. Say that with me. Be single-minded. Be consistent. Say that with me. Seek him diligently. Because if you have those three qualities, you're going to position yourself to receive reward from him. Now, this is true for new believers. It's true for, what can we call them, old believers? Right? Seasoned believers. Oh, that's nice. It's like for golden believers, yeah. But, you know, it's also true for beginners, people who are beginning, who are still thinking, what do I do? And so I especially want to speak to people who are at that moment where you want to move forward with God, but it's all new to you. And I can tell you this, every important decision requires commitment, so it's important to take your time to make a decision to walk with God. It's not good to just hurry into it and then change your mind later. Better to consider the cost, Yeshua said, and to make a serious commitment. But I want you to understand something. It all starts with a single step. And the step is really saying yes to Yeshua. That's the first step. And when you start saying yes to God and to his salvation, and you line everything else up with that, and you're single-minded in that, all the other things come into play. You can take a step forward even right now. And so tonight I want to pray with everyone who's here who wants to take that step forward, and also with anyone who's listening by podcast, and they can connect with me on Facebook or through one of our email addresses. Every time you say yes to the Messiah, you're saying yes to the God of Israel. So let's pray. Maybe this is in your heart. Lord, I say yes to you. I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness because I surely need it. I thank you, Lord, for Yeshua, that he gave his life as a sacrifice for my sins. I thank you, Lord, for Yeshua's resurrection, that you raised him up from the dead and you showed the whole world the victory over sin and death. And I say yes to you, Lord. I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. I want to be single-minded. I don't want to halt between two opinions or bounce between two different ways of thinking. I want stability and consistency, and I want to seek you diligently. And so, Lord, we say yes to you. Some of us, Lord, are brand new believers. Some of us are seasoned believers who have known you for decades, and yet we're saying yes to you too, each in our own way, Lord, each from our current point. And we say, Lord, we need a breakthrough. We need your breakthrough in every area of our life. We need your joy. We need your hope. We need the faith that can only come from you. And we want to walk with you. So, Lord, let tonight be a night of saying yes to you for us. And, Lord, I pray for all those who are just taking the first step by saying yes to you. And I pray that you would strengthen them, you would encourage them, and you would surround them, Lord, with others who will stand together with them as they walk with you. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Tomorrow I invite you to come in costume. It's not just for kids, but kids of all ages are welcome, and we're going to have little prizes of joy for everyone in costume. And I encourage you to come as well tomorrow afternoon to our Russian service. You are invited to participate in that. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.